on the Marquette University Golden Eagles Sports Network. From Learfield, welcome to Marquette Thursdays. Live from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum. Experience a Milwaukee icon. Brought to you by Marquette Athletics Champion Partners, Aurora Sports Health, Pepsi, and Wintrust, Wisconsin's Bank, the official bank of Marquette. Also brought to you by Coors Light, Choose Chill, proud partner of Marquette Athletics. Now, here is your host, Jen Latta.
All right, another great crowd out here at Motor Bar and Restaurant for Marquette Thursdays with Shaka Smart. So much for us to get to this evening. We actually have a special announcement for you guys tonight. You will not want to miss that. Stick around for that. But Motor Bar and Restaurant is the spot every Thursday during the basketball season. Great food and drink specials all night. Our next show, March 6th. Big announcement. We will continue to talk about that as the show goes on. But we are here with the head coach of your Marquette Golden Eagles. So let's begin with some of the games. You guys have a big stretch coming up. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. But the games that obviously occurred since the last time we got together, and we have to begin with that Villanova game. Obviously not the outcome that you were hoping for. What did you learn about your team after that loss?
I mean, it's late in the year, so I think the things you learn, it's more relearning, to be honest with you, Jen. But I believe since last time we had a show, there was a game preceding the Villanova game. If we're going to talk about all of them, it was Seton Hall, Villanova, and Providence. Villanova, man, they shot the lights out, 12 threes in the first half. We must have drank the same water that they drank in the next game, in the Providence game, because we made
very similar trends,
a similar amount in the first half. But a lot of areas on the defensive end where we needed to be better. I mean, they were at a high level. I'll give them a lot of credit. The kid Brickus, that the little guy that plays for them, he was phenomenal. I thought he was as good as anyone in the game. And then Eric Dixon, there's a reason he's leading the nation in scoring. He was tough. He was a tough matchup. He was good against our double teams, and then he was just as effective against our single teams.
You had said there was not enough violence, not enough focus from your guys. How do you measure that during a game?
With my eyeballs, just watching the game, I think, making sure that, number one, we always have obviously a game plan going into the game. We have a plan for how we're going to handle different things. Mike Tyson said everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So, you know, basketball is about, you know, executing your plan and then even course correcting and adjusting in the moment. When we've been at our best, our guys have done a terrific job of doing that. We weren't as good. We got down 14-4 at the start of that game, the Villanova game, and I thought they really gained a level of confidence from that. Not that they're not a confident team. I mean, they beat St. John's at home. They beat UConn at home. They've been a different team at home than they've been on the road this year, which is, I say that about a lot of people, but they're hard to guard for sure.
You said that they played like a desperate team on the bubble. Can desperation be a useful mindset?
Absolutely. Desperation can work both ways. We talk about that all the time. It can be useful. It can be something that you use to motivate you and drive you. I've always said over the years, the heavyweight champion of the world will never come from the suburbs. There's a desperation you have when you're hungry, you know, when you don't have food. I remember as a young guy not wanting people to drop me off at my house because I was embarrassed of where I lived. There's a desperation that comes from that. And so, yeah, I mean, if you have your NCAA tournament lives on the line with a game and a quad one opportunity, as they call it, on your home floor, that definitely can work in your favor.
That's really interesting. Does that mindset at all motivate some of the guys you look at, some of the guys you go after to build your team?
Absolutely. I mean, what did Al McGuire say? He said he wants guys from cracked sidewalks, you know, neighborhoods with cracked sidewalks. Those guys have desperation. That's what he was talking about. This is before I was born. He was speaking this language. So absolutely, you want someone with a desperation. But, I don't think it's necessarily always correlated with your socioeconomic status. Steph Curry, you know, is a guy that's always demonstrated a phenomenal desperation in the way that he played, but also joy. And, you know, his dad was an NBA player. You know, he came from, you know, a background of, you know, never really wanted for anything. But he's a guy that plays with great competitiveness and, if you will, desperation, and always has.
What is the best way to describe? There were words that came to my mind, I'm sure words that came to the Marquette fan base's mind, to describe the performance of your starters. What was the best way to describe your assessment of their performance in that game?
What do you think, Jen?
I was disappointed, I was frustrated, I was underwhelmed. Those are some of the words that came to mind for me, but I'm very curious how you chalked it up.
I saw the same game as you, so you said it.
All right, let's go with that. Did anybody else feel disappointed, frustrated, underwhelmed by the performance?
You guys want to throw them back?
No. But here's what I do want to get to, though. You obviously rewarded some of the other guys with some significant playing time. What did you see from them that you felt like they had earned that opportunity?
Well, I mean, honestly, sometimes it's a combination of them earning it and then the other guys in the moment not so much earning it. First of all, our freshmen and sophomores have been terrific in practice. You know, just terrific down the stretch of this season, the way they've practiced, their focus. And so that gives you confidence as a coach to put them in the game. Trust me, Jen, as disappointed as you were, our players and coaches were that times a million. I'm sure they lost more sleep than you. So it's something that, you know, I think disappointment is something that's good if it can drive you and you can learn from it. But if you dwell on it, then, you know, it can end up working against you because it can become an avoidance goal. Zay Lowry, Demarius Owens, Royce Parham, they're too young and naive to be disappointed. You know, they're just out there playing basketball. And because of that, you know, those guys sometimes in those moments are even better to have out there. Zay, you know, had an awesome performance shooting the ball, put the ball in the basket a lot for us in that game. So it was great to see that.
So let's move on to the Providence game then, where you guys led by as many as 31 points, held them to 52. Seven different players knocked down threes. 12 of the team's 13 baskets in the opening 20 minutes were three-pointers. That was obviously the theme of the game, although you say you don't go in with the intention of shooting that many threes. So how did it shake out that way?
Same way it shakes out in the football games you cover. You know, if the defense is playing you to run, then you pass. If the defense is playing you to pass, then you run. And if the defense in basketball is putting their 6'10 guy who can put his forehead on the rim at the basket and he's not leaving the basket, then you better be careful shooting around him, unless you're 6'10 and you can put your forehead on the rim. Our guy that can put his forehead on the rim is redshirting this year. So next year you'll see more of that. And it just so happened the way they were playing, they weren't guarding certain guys, they weren't guarding Stevie, and we were able to create a lot of high-quality three-point shots, and we believe in our guys taking those shots.
Stevie obviously took advantage of that as well. Let's go to some of those numbers. 41 of 61 field goal attempts behind the arc, we mentioned that. Cam Jones, Ben Gold, Stevie Mitchell combining to go 11 of 22, and I believe that it was either the attempts or the makes that was a program record. Was
attempts.
It the attempts?
Yes, attempts.
So you mentioned that you had a picture of five lions. Was that something you were carrying with you? Did you use it as motivation for the guys? What was the hope for having that with you?
It's not motivation. It's just a reminder to them that, you know, these guys right now are not caught up in what anyone's thinking. They're not caught up on, you know, anyone's disappointment in them or what's on social media. They're just trying to eat. And I had that throughout the game in the timeouts, showing it to the guys. It's something that our mental skills coach, Russ Roush, has used at times with the guys. And I thought it would be good in that moment because sometimes, you know, as human beings, we have such powerful tools between our ears that sometimes they can work against us and overcomplicate things that are actually relatively simple.
Cam Jones, 17 points, 7 assists, 4 threes. As we mentioned, the threes was a theme of the night. And his 44th straight game scoring in double figures, that's the longest active streak in the nation. I didn't check last night's games to see if anybody else was closing that gap. But what can you make of him? One of the things that stood out to me last year about this team was Tyler Kolek's ability to assess what was going on in a game and deliver what your team needed. How is Cam Jones filling that role?
Yeah, I mean, he's not the same as Tyler from that standpoint. Tyler is like a maestro out there. He's like sees the play one step ahead. He's able to read the defense, before they even seemingly show what they're going to do. I could probably coach another 3 decades and not have another guy that quite has that ability that Tyler has. But Cam, I think, has made a huge jump in his ability to play point guard. Sean Jones is here tonight, and we are so excited that in 249 days, the ball will go up in the air, and he'll be out there Fiserv Forum. But when he went down with that injury last year, it was actually a little bit of a double whammy, and I knew it right when it happened because I've been coaching long enough. I thought to myself, not only is this disappointing, to use your word, for this year, but it's going to be tough for him to come back and be himself for next year, meaning this current year that we're in. And so the tricky thing for us from a recruiting standpoint is we didn't know for sure exactly where things would be. We have young guards in our program. Sean was the guy that certainly was slotted to be the starting point guard this year, way back when we knew that Tyler would be moving on after last year. And, what everyone else would have done is go in the transfer portal and get, 23-year-old grad transfer point guard from somewhere else. But for multiple reasons, that we didn't think that made sense for us. And Cam's just done a phenomenal job playing that position. I think he's been, in his own way, in a Cam Jones, not a Tyler Kolek way or not Braden Smith from Purdue or whoever else, in his own way, he's been as good at that position as anyone in the country.
Is it tough for him at times to know when to be distributing the ball and when to keep it for himself? Obviously, we just talked about how tremendous he has been from a scoring standpoint from this team, but that can be challenging when you're bringing the ball up and also you have all of these other talented guys on the floor.
Yeah, it's not even so much that. It's more the way he's being played and then a couple other things that come before that. And then, and Tyler used to struggle with this as well. When the ball comes back to you, when you're Cam Jones of last year, or when you're, Chase Ross right now, or David Joplin, your default is score, shoot. And that's where you saw Cam Jones, pump in big numbers playing shooting guard last year. Now when the ball comes back to you, there's a bunch of other stuff that you might be thinking about, creating a play for someone else. Getting downhill, getting in the paint, reading the play. And then you add to that the fact that these teams, particularly in the Big East that we play, they've got some pretty good schemes for how they defend him, whether it's with help or with the guy guarding him or some combination of both.
Ben Gold had a career-high game. It was awesome to see him getting involved. We have talked at length at various points this season about his growth, but just give us now the treetop, the evolution of Ben Gold and how he continues to contribute to this squad.
He's still evolving. I mean, we all are still evolving. And, I think what happens is people like to take a snapshot of someone based on the last game or the last few games or whatever segment of time and say, okay, that's who he is. But we choose to take a growth mindset, which says I can and will grow from every experience, as opposed to a fixed mindset, which says I'm defined by my last game or my last test or my last broadcast, and that's who I am, and that's set, and that's not changing. So with a growth mindset, Ben, I told him, and I continue to tell him, the tough experiences you've had and the good experiences you've had, you got to wear those like a badge of honor. And if someone says, hey, you're this or you're that, then okay, that's their opinion. But it doesn't change what you're trying to do out here for your team and your teammates. It was great to see him, though, have a really, really good offensive game, a really good scoring game, because, he's been through some tough ones. And, these guys, they work so hard. So particularly, did you guys like that coast-to-coast? You got that rebound. You know, no one's ever going to confuse him with Julius Erving. But, I mean, he showed some grace there, you know, bringing the ball down the floor and then coming across the floor and then putting it off the glass with his left hand with some English. That was impressive.
I love that. Let's talk about Stevie Mitchell. The nugget I have here for him is through Wednesday, Mitchell was ranked second in the Big East, 10th in the country in steals per game at 2.5. He has moved into fourth all-time at Marquette. In the league, he is averaging 2.6 steals per contest, the best mark in the Big East. There's some weird language that's going on there with the tweet or the text that I copied over. We always talk about him as a defensive player. We hope that he is in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. How valuable is it for him to have an offensive night like he's had?
Great. I mean, he's been much better on the offensive end. He's averaging double figures, which is, you know, more than he's averaged on offense his whole career. This has been a unique season for him because on the offensive end, more games than not now, he's being defended by the other team's big guy. And that was really never the case before because usually they had to put him on Oso. But because Ben is so perimeter-oriented, they often put the other team's five-man on Stevie or on Trey Norman and dare those guys to shoot. And the games where Stevie's played really well against that defense, his eyes have gotten big, and he's been somewhat of a playmaker for us. He had a lot of assists the other night. He's gotten into action, as we say, putting that guy in position where he has to guard, whether it's dribble handoffs or pick and rolls. And then Stevie shot the ball well from three. On the season, he's shooting a higher percentage from three than both Cam Jones and David Joplin. Obviously not the same number of attempts, but his shooting percentage from three is the best that it's ever been in his career. I don't know, I'm not on social media. Did they put out what Dwayne Wade said about him in the locker room? Did you see that video?
No, but I was going to ask you about Dwayne Wade talking to your team.
So D. Wade, as everybody knows, was at the game. And, I mean, man, this is the closest I've ever met to an enlightened being, Dwayne Wade. Someday, like, I want to go to India, you know, and meet some of these guys that can, like, meditate and, like, levitate off the floor. Like, they're that, like, advanced in terms of enlightenment. That's Dwayne Wade. Like, this guy, he has energy radiating off of his forehead. It's awesome. So he's in the locker room afterward, and I had asked him to give the pregame talk, and he said, no. He said, I want to talk after the game. And I said, okay. You're Dwayne Wade, whatever you want. And so he talked after the game, and we walk in there. The guys are in there. The guys always dance after a win, so they got done with their dance. And then I didn't say anything. I just, hey, D-Wade, you got the floor. And he said a variety of things to the guys, which was awesome. But one of the things, he brought Stevie up with him, and he put his arm around him, and he said, hey, you are the spiritual leader. And he said, when your spirit is right, it infects in a positive way every member of this team on the court and on the bench, which we know. But when it comes from Dwayne Wade, it's more powerful. And then he said to Stevie, he said, that's a real responsibility, and that can feel very heavy at times. I know what that feels like. This is Dwayne Wade talking. And it was just an awesome moment. I didn't know if they had shared that or if that's something we kept internal. They don't ask me for my permission. They just put stuff out. So that was pretty cool.
It's a great story. I'm sure it's something that Stevie will remember for a very long time. And it feels like a great place for us to take our first break here on the Marquette Basketball Hour with head coach Shaka Smart. So we will return in just a moment. But before we do, don't wreck a great time. Marquette Golden Eagles remind you to drive sober or get pulled over. Visit zeroinwisconsin.gov to learn more. Zero in Wisconsin. Together we can save lives. Wisconsin DOT. We return to Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum right after this. Back here at Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum. So this is my last show of the season, but it is not the last show for Marquette Basketball Show. And the special announcement we want to share with you guys this evening is that next week, Shaka Smart will be here. But hosting the show, guys, and this is a big one, seniors Cam Jones and Stevie Mitchell. I'm sure some of you guys have listened to the podcast. They are going to be hosting the Marquette Basketball Hour, joined by senior David Joplin. You will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind show as we salute the seniors here at Motor Bar and Restaurant.
I got another announcement for next week. I'm going to bring you guys a gift, so make sure you're here, because it's only for the people that come next week. All right, but I'm gonna bring you a gift. I've been working on this. I thought to myself a couple weeks ago, I said, man, we got some awesome fans that come to the radio show every Thursday. What can we do? So I got this is a small token of my appreciation, but just make sure you're here Wednesday, and that will be that, because those guys are talking, then I probably will just be able to hang out with you guys.
I believe the intention is for them to interview Coach as well, ask some questions. But, yes, it will be incredible content. It will be incredible, probably a once-in-a-Marquette career opportunity.
They're the stars for sure, and that's obviously the game before their senior night, or senior day. So we'll be excited about that. But that seems like a long way away. We're focused on having a good practice tomorrow.
Yeah, I know you guys take it one day at a time. You had mentioned earlier your 6'10 guy, 6'9 guy, Al Amadou, who will play with the team next year.
I was actually talking about Josh Clark.
Oh, I didn't even know you were talking about Josh Clark.
Yeah,
How tall is Josh Clark?
I don't know that Al can put his forehead on the rim, but Josh Clark is 7'1".
Oh, yeah, he can definitely put his forehead on the rim then. So Josh will play next year.
All three of those guys are redshirting, Al, Josh, and Sean. Sean, obviously, for different reasons. He, coming off of his knee, surgery, didn't feel like he was quite ready to be the player he wanted to be this year. The other two, just they weren't ready to be in our rotation, and we believe in that. It's an extra year for development for guys, and it's gone really well for all three of them.
And it will be huge to have that type of height, although you do have some guys who are sizable. I feel like some of your younger guys. So when you need to go to a rotation where you are relying on a little more size, how have you used some of those younger guys for those situations?
Well, yeah, our front line will be more formidable, certainly in years to come, because some of those guys are young. And as long as we can do a good job developing them and making sure that they continue to matriculate at Marquette, then we should be in good shape, along with recruiting. We're always on the lookout for that next 6'10 guy that can run and jump and shoot the ball and handle the ball. Caden Hamilton coming off the bench has made really good progress. He seems to be someone that the crowd reacts to one way or another. He's really, really been awesome in practice. I mean, he's just a load to deal with in practice. In fact, a couple folks here were at practice recently, and they know what I mean. I mean, he's got a mantra that he says at the beginning of practice that kind of sets the tone for our whole team. Royce Parham at 6'8 is, probably from a scoring standpoint, got as much potential as anyone on our team outside of Cam, and he's getting better and better. So those guys, along with Josh and Al, those guys give us a lot of size for the future. And Ben's got another year, so we want to make sure we keep getting him better and better.
What is Demarius? How tall is he?
Demarius is 6'6". He's probably the best jumper, leaper, of anyone on our team. They always argue about who's a better athlete, Demarius, Chase, or Zaid. And depending on how you measure it, they all have an argument. But Demarius has the highest vertical jump.
So when we talk about that athleticism and you like having some of that size out on the floor, how do you encourage them to measure their growth? What's a metric you use? Because we have talked about you're a freshman, you're out there with some older guys, obviously competing on a nightly basis in a very physical league in the Big East. How do you encourage them to measure their performances on a night-by-night basis?
The best way to measure your growth is your impact on winning. So in practice, we keep track of wins every drill. Those of you that have been to practice, there's a whiteboard in the corner. It's just literally like a portable whiteboard. And when the blue team wins, they get a win in their tally. And when the gold team wins, they get a win. So the best players and guys that are making good development, good progress, tend to get more wins. Now you talk about the game. How do you measure their progress in the game? Again, to me, the best way to measure that is by their impact on winning. So offensive points per possession, when you're in a game, how many points does your team score per possession? Defensive points per possession, how many points does your team give up? And that's something that we monitor every game throughout the year. We, you know, keep track of where that is and trends and where guys have gotten better. You know, for example, Royce Parham has really trended the right direction in that, in both of those. Deflections, as you know, is a big deal for us. Are you above or below the deflection standard, which is a deflection every 6.25 minutes? We've got, of our rotation, seven guys above the standard, three guys below the standard. The goal is, you know, by the end of the year, we'd love to get all 10 up above that standard, but those three that are below got some work to do.
One of the things that you said after the loss to Villanova was that the only way for your team to truly come together and multiply each other was to let go of ourselves enough and focus on lifting those around us. That, it sounds really, really good. How do you do that? Is it a moment-by-moment basis where you just see in the midst of a game where you're needed to lift up your teammates? Like, it feels very philosophical, but how do you put it into practice?
It is philosophical, and it's advanced stuff. I mean, how do we do that as adults? You know, I think it starts with us trying to help the guys understand that it is non-negotiable. In order to be our best as a team, it requires each of us to get over ourselves. You know, we've heard Greg Popovich say that for how long? You know, as a coach of the Spurs, I want guys that are over themselves. But it's true. You know, we have to get over ourselves enough to help each other overcome the challenges associated with really good competition. When you play great competition, there's more challenges. When you play lesser competition, there's less challenges. And it's a lesson that young guys have to learn, obviously, multiple times. You can't just learn it once and then, oh, I got it. Maybe there's a special player or two out there that is like that, but for the most part, human beings, they have to learn things over and over again. How do I get our guys to do it? You know, there's a lot of ways to do it. You know, Bobby Knight would throw a chair, or you know, Coach Crean might do this, or you know, Buzz Williams might do that. You know, my way of doing it is through relationships, not that there's wasn't or isn't, and trying to help those guys understand that trust, you know, of our way is the only way. I think this is probably the most challenging time of year for them, the end of the regular season, because there is a level of fatigue, mental fatigue, all that. But the other team has that as well. You know, it's not like they're fresh as a daisy either. So I think, you know, just understand, there's no other way.
Last thing I have for you in this section, Coach, the second chance plays of the game. I noticed that Marquette Basketball highlighted that on social media. Caden, yes. Hamilton and Zade Lowery were the guys. Why do you feel it's important to highlight those sort of moments?
We're trying to build an offensive rebounding culture. You know, we talk about that a lot internally on our team. You know, Mike Tomlin says we have a block culture, you know, and so he's talking about, you know, we block punts. That's what we do. And so we have a deflection culture for sure. Our guys do a good job getting their hands on the basketball, I'd say 90% of the time. And we're trying to develop an offensive rebounding culture. We're much better than we've been. This is our best of the 4 years we've been here. We are currently fourth in the Big East offensive rebounding percentage. That's just the percentage of our misses that we get back. That's all that is. St. John is by far the best, by far the best. Then UConn, then Seton Hall, then us. We're just a little bit behind Seton Hall. And then Georgetown. And so for us, we're trying to keep getting better with that. As I learned a long, long time ago, the best way to get better at offensive rebounding, it's the same as the best way to get better at free throw shooting or three-point shooting or pretty much anything else in basketball. It's to recruit guys that are good at that. So if you want it, like, you want to get really, really good at that, recruit guys that are good at that. However, we want guys to be well-rounded and good at a lot of things. And so beyond recruiting, it's been a huge point of emphasis for us. I actually talked to Buzz over the summer, in addition to Kelvin Sampson, in addition to several other coaches that have some of the best offensive rebounding programs. And I asked them, what do you do? You know, how do you go about this? And, of course, Buzz gave me a dissertation. It was pretty cool. You know, I wrote down everything he said. Kelvin Sampson's was awesome. I actually went down and watched them practice. But again, I think it's taking what makes sense for our team and our guys, which is just trying to go with relentless effort. As you notice, David Joplin, when he's really active and at his best, He's in there getting his hands on the basketball. Stevie Mitchell, for a 6'2", 6'3 guard, is as good, you know, inch for inch of an offensive rebounder as there is in the country. But, again, we don't necessarily have that 7-footer right now, like a Kalkbrenner that's going to get 5 or 6 in a game. So we really have to do it by committee. In fact, that's one of the things that Coach Crean said when he spoke a few games ago when he was here, is he looked at our guys and he said, if there ever was a team that needed to gang rebound, that's a defense, that's a coaching term. That's a common coaching term, gang rebound. Rebound as a group.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's you guys. If there ever was, what he meant by that is you don't have one guy going to get 10, 12, 15 rebounds. We got this guy getting 4, this guy getting 6, this guy getting 5. And that's okay. You can still be good that way, but everyone's got to chip in. Everyone's got to contribute.
Yeah, very similar in football when they talk about population tackling or gang tackling. Yes. Sometimes you may not have a guy who's good at the solo tackles, but if you can have everybody rushing to the ball, you have a better chance of taking that player down. I love that you're saying this is an emphasis for us. So in order for us to get better at it, we have to highlight when people do it well.
I'll give you one other thing with that. Guess which half most teams, including us, are better at offensive rebounding. Okay, let's make this participatory.
All right, here we go. Hands. Okay.
If you think the first half, raise your hand. In the first half, are we better at offensive rebounding? Or if you think the second half, raise your hand. Well, you guys are smart. You got some high level.
Okay? Smart basketball fans.
So not just us. Most teams are better offensive rebounding in the second half for a variety of reasons. One of those reasons being desperation. People tend to have more desperation for, hey, it's a four-point game. We really need to get this miss back. And so they go more. And what we've tried to build is that desperation earlier in the game. And there definitely is still some meat on the bone for us to keep getting better at that. But our numbers are much better than they've been in previous seasons. So I guess we're making progress. And I really believe, mostly through recruiting, but through continued inch-by-inch coaching and pushing and prodding on our part, we will continue to get better in subsequent years and eventually be a team that's one of the top, you know, 25 or 50 in the country at offensive rebounding. However, I will say this. Most of the teams that are really, really, really good at offensive rebounding, they're not so pretty to watch on offense before that rebound. They're not the greatest, like, with execution or even with shooting. But you know what they are good at? Going after that ball like some rabid dogs, you know, when it goes up on the glass. So it's kind of a give and take. And that's why you see, like, the Creightons of the world, who are phenomenal execution, great shooters, really, really pretty to watch with all the sets they run. Go look at their offensive rebounding percentage. They're a great team, but that's just not something that they emphasize because you can't be great at everything.
Really, really insightful stuff there on the offensive rebounding and the emphasis on it from Shaka Smart. We will take a break here at Motor Bar and Restaurant. When we return, Sean Jones, he's going to take the hot seat, answer our questions right after this. But guys, make memories, have fun with your friends and family, entertain clients, and enjoy the exciting action downtown at Fiserv Forum as you cheer on the Marquette Golden Eagles. Secure your season tickets today for next season by calling 414-288-GOMU or gomarquette.com/tickets. Tonight's Marquette Player Interview is brought to you by Wintrust, Wisconsin's bank, the official banking partner of Marquette University and home to Marquette Check-In with free ATMs nationwide. Please welcome Sean Jones. So, Sean, we were just talking about how I was at practice a few weeks ago, and I'm watching you run scout team, and holy moly, I had forgotten how quick you are. When you're out there running scout team, how good does that feel?
It feels great, you know, to just lead the scout guys, be able to get our guys prepared for the game, whatever we're preparing for, and to just be able to go at them and get back into things. It's just great. I'm just blessed to be doing it.
We see you leading on the bench with the team in games. How have you embraced that role this season?
I've embraced it by coaches always wanted me to work on, like, being vocal. So I've had to force myself to do it. You know, I can't help too much with the guys physically, especially when they're in between the lines, but I can use my voice I could bring energy to them, and I've just learned to do that through having to watch and having to find ways to impact our team without being able to play.
Take us inside the locker room. How have you and your teammates navigated the ups and downs of this Big East schedule?
Just by how together we are and knowing what we're capable of, you know, it's going to be ups and downs every season in different ways. And we've learned. Coach always harps on learning from your mistakes and, like, growing and failing forward. And we really buy into that. So just being together and knowing what we're capable of and knowing we can fix the things that caused us to fall short.
Sean Jones hanging out with us here on the Marquette Basketball Hour from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum. You may have heard earlier Coach and I were throwing out some adjectives to describe how we were feeling about the game against Villanova. Why don't you tell us how you and your guys felt about what went down that night?
You know, it was a tough one. Obviously, Villanova's very high ranked when it comes to shooting threes. And we knew that before the game, but, you know, it's a little different when that ball goes up. You know, preparation is preparation. Words are words, but, you know, when that ball goes up, we have to do what we have to do to make a miss. You know, we knew before the game they could shoot, and we just didn't do that to our expectation or to our standard, really. So that was tough on us, but, you know, next day in practice, we were able to – it was a tough film session, you know, that day. You know, everybody knows how it feels to come back in the film, you know, knowing you didn't do your best or knowing you were late on something. Or just knowing that you guys didn't put your best effort out there. So film was tough, but we were able to go from the film room to the practice and just get to it on the next team.
How do you fight those mental demons? Coach was saying, you know, at one point you guys close it to within 8, which is absolutely within striking distance. How do you fight the mental demons in a game where the home team just comes out guns ablazing, knocking down threes, puts you in a big hole early on? Because you still got to finish the game.
Right.
You can't go, oh, man. This really didn't go our way early on. Let's just forfeit the rest.
By being together, you have to get outside of yourself, you know, which is very easy, way easier said than done. But it's a consistent reminder to yourself and to your guys that y'all are in this together and that y'all are capable, and that if you are able to, like, get past the little things like the mental lapses or whatever's going on in your brain and get outward with your teammates, then that's that's the only way you're going to be able to do it, especially with a team shooting so high as Villanova did on the road, you know, feeling good about themselves, starting the game, shooting high early. It's going to take more than what you thought, obviously, since, you know, it started so good. But you just got to come together and really consistently tell your mind that you can do what you need to do.
How cool is it to watch some of your guys have career nights? We talk about Ben Gold, obviously what Cam has been doing this season. We talked about Stevie, how his offense has really started to match what he is known for, which is his defense. What is it like watching your friends, your teammates, hit these milestones and have these career nights?
You know, it's so amazing to see when the lights are on, because we see each other every day when the lights are off. Or, like, when we're at our lowest or when we're at our highest, like, we see the work we put in, all the effort we put forth. And just seeing the up and downs behind the scenes with the guys just makes what happens when the lights and where everybody else gets to see just feel so much better. So, and especially with me not being able to play this year, just watching our guys excel and just play has been great for me, and I just love to see it every day.
So we obviously got to see you in practice. Not everybody has, but we get to see you in practice. And you're working on, like you said, being a more vocal leader. Is that, it doesn't come naturally to you? You'd rather, what, lead by example? Or, like, when you talk about leadership style, what have you been and what are you aspiring to be?
Throughout life, when sports growing up, it was always by example. But being a point guard, you know, you have to be vocal. And Coach has been harping that to me since I've got here. And I just really fed into what he's saying and know that's what it takes to be done. And I want to do whatever it takes for us to win. And as a point guard, you need to be a leader vocally, you know, have that vocal presence. And, I mean, I feel like I have a decent vocal presence. If you come to the game, you can hear my scream, you know, in the player intros, you know. So that wasn't my best scream, though. I was a little raspy that day. But, yeah, I feel like I had a good vocal presence, and anytime I would speak up in my younger days, players would tell me I always say what exactly needs to be said, so I just take that into consideration, yeah.
For your game, what are you focusing on this season? And obviously getting healthy, getting back to 100%, which everybody is super excited about, but what are you focusing on? What are the elements of your game that you're like, this is something I want to be able to, at the end of this year, say, I know I got better at?
Just leading, for the most part, you know, that's going to be a big aspect for me. being a leader with the ball. I'm going to have the ball in my hands way more than I have in the past. Offensively, shooting on and off the ball, being able to hit reads whenever and whatever through whatever angles. Just all the stuff that goes behind being an elite point guard, being an elite leader, and, you know, talking and then talking while playing basketball, you know, those are two different beasts. So, you know, getting back into the thick of things, you say you seem to be a scout team or in practice, you know, but just being vocal while my lungs are going, while I'm breathing, you know, that's been a big thing that I've been working on this offseason as well.
So at the end of the Providence game, there was a bunch of guys from the bench, some of your reserves, some of your scout team buddies, out on the floor representing Marquette so well. A little bit of some words exchanged, maybe a hard foul, and I saw Coach kind of bring you all together and talk to you in that moment. What was his message to you in that moment? You guys were up by like 30 points at that point. Game is, you know, all said and done. What did he say to you guys?
I'm not going to lie. I was not in that huddle. I was chilling on the bench. But I'm pretty sure he said something about not worrying about them guys being who we are and that we deserve this moment that them guys deserve to be in the game at that point. And just to, just for all the hard work they put in, you know, and all the stuff they pour into us, they deserve that moment, and just to cherish it, and just to do what they need to do in that moment, you know, not worry too much about the other team.
I love how you guys always have each other's backs. You mentioned that there is a tough stretch ahead. You guys have Georgetown on the 1st, UConn on the 5th, St. John's for senior night on the 8th. What do you need to see? What do you want to see from your teammates to go out and get those victories?
Definitely a tough stretch ahead, but this is what we came to Marquette for, you know, play teams like this. What I'm looking forward to see, just seeing us play together, play as hard as we possibly can and not leave anything in the tank. That's what I'm looking forward to most, just seeing us play together and bringing our best out right before we get into March and it becomes single elimination.
Last thing I have for you, I was told to ask about your mom. She won the dance competition on the Marquette Moms Night.
Right.
She's also very active on social media. Now, look, we've seen your moves as well, okay? That's well documented. What has your mom meant to your journey and your success?
I mean, everything. In terms of, like, putting a basketball in my hand, I got some baby pictures with a basketball. Obviously, that was done by my mom and dad. But just make sure I've stuck with it, made sure I've been consistent, made sure I've been growing, made sure off the court I'm a respectable young man. And just make sure my head was on the straight path. I feel like she's done that and did that so much for me growing up, consistently telling me things and consistently coached me as hard as she possibly could. You know, she knew the game. She played the game in college. So, you know, she always had her comments. She still does. Like you said, active on social media. She'll make a comment about how we're playing at sometimes. But she's just been very, very instrumental in everything I do still to this day. I think about a bunch of the things she said to me growing up, on the court and off the court, and I use those every day as I'm trying to become a great man.
What's the best thing she told you over the last year as you experienced the injury, knew you'd have to rehab and recover? What's the best thing she told you about that portion of your journey?
Just to go after. I feel like that's the message that everybody's been harping to me, but I've been harping that to myself more probably than anybody has to me, but my mom's just been very supportive and telling me to go after it. And I listen to that, you know, I feel that. It's something I wanted to go after in a recovery phase, just going as hard as I possibly could every day. And my support staff has helped me with that. My mom has done a great job of helping me with that, but giving me space when I need space, you know. But just going after it.
Sean Jones, it is always a pleasure to chat with you. You are such a terrific representative of the Marquette community. We cannot wait to get you back out on the court, leading the Golden Eagles in the Big East. Sean Jones, everybody.
Thank you.
Marquette fans, Buffalo Wild Wings is the official viewing party location for Marquette road games this season. Check out the Golden Eagles watch party schedule at gomarquette.com/BWW. The next watch party is this Saturday at the Oak Creek Buffalo Wild Wings. Marquette takes on Georgetown at 7 p.m. Let's go, Sports Bar. Back with Shaka Smart right after this on the Marquette Basketball Hour here at Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum. Back here at Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum for Marquette Thursdays and back with head coach Shaka Smart. So what are the key areas of focus? And I know it probably doesn't change too much, but three games left in the regular season before you guys take on the Big East tournament. What are you focused on as you prepare for this final stretch?
Well, I think it's important for us to leave no doubt for ourselves before we even talk about the opponent. that we're in our circles and we're at our best in terms of multiplying each other, because culturally that's been a point of emphasis all year long. And when we've been at our best, I mean, we've had, again, Stevie as the leader of this, but we've had just an incredible spirit about us. And, you know, that gets tested by circumstances. So, you know, making sure that we leave no doubt to each other that we're in our circles. We overcome the circumstances, the tests that come up, particularly on the road, but always against good teams. And, you know, you got to play 40 minutes.
Marquette versus Georgetown this weekend, and then, of course, UConn and St. John's. I know Coach doesn't look too far ahead, but it is a tough stretch for the Marquette Golden Eagles before they bring their talents back to.
An exciting stretch.
It's an exciting stretch. That's right. Coach, it has been a pleasure again to sit with you on these Thursday nights. Best of luck down the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to be with you. Sorry you got booted by Stevie and
Well, come on. I mean, but I'd pick them to host the show as well if we could have them every week.
They could have kicked me off instead of you, but I'm appreciate everything this year. I can't believe how fast the season goes. I can't believe that we're already coming up on our last radio show a week from today. But, again, I just want to say thank you to everyone that's come to the restaurant here and supported us, and it's been a ton of fun. So hope to see, you know, anyone that can make it next week, and we're excited about heading to D.C. tomorrow.
And don't forget, Coach said he's got a special token of appreciation for those who come to the radio show next week. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. I'm Jen Latta. We'll see you again next time.
This has been Marquette Thursdays, live from Motor Bar and Restaurant at the Harley-Davidson Museum. Experience a Milwaukee icon on the Marquette University Golden Eagles Sports Network from Learfield. Brought to you by Marquette Athletics Champion Partners, Aurora Sports Health, Pepsi, and Wintrust, Wisconsin's Bank, the official bank of Marquette. Also brought to you by Coors Light, Choose Chill, proud partner of Marquette Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Marquette University Golden Eagles Sports Network.